Thank you very much. Thank you, Isabel. As we've just discovered, I'm Melissa James, the founder of Inclusive Tourism and Can Go Everywhere. I first started my journey down here in 2012, where I took my father, who was aged at that time, to on a trip to America, and whilst there I met up with a friend who also had a disability. I couldn't believe that the resources weren't within Australia to be able to find places that were accessible. So I set about and created Can Go Everywhere, which was launched in 2014. It was very well received by the travelling population. It's designed to be a full service travel directory, and we use a set of icons where people can easily go and see what listings are suitable for them. It's supposed to give information on accommodation, restaurants, services, tourist attractions, etc., that anybody would need whilst they were visiting. We developed a set of self-assessment tools which we distribute to businesses, and they go through those assessments, and that allows us to be able to provide the information that travellers really need. It goes into in-depth information to things such as what are your accessible parking spaces like, how wide are your doors, particularly bathrooms are very important, and of course imagery plays a huge role in this space. We've had a lot of positive feedback about the site, and we've indeed won many awards, and the site continues to evolve. But the problem that we found was that businesses didn't quite get it. So, alas, as hard as we worked, we couldn't get the businesses to come on board. Well, we had trouble getting them on board. And it was only because they were not aware of the accessible tourism market. Many operators that I spoke to, particularly accommodation providers, immediately assumed that accessible tourism was all about wheelchairs, and that meant wide doors and ramps, and they just couldn't deal with that. But what we had to do was tell them that, yes, of course, that is one part of accessible tourism, but it's certainly not the whole thing. In fact, in Australia, we're looking at about 8% of accessible tourism are wheelchair users, so there leaves another 92% of other people with other requirements. The other thing that I heard quite often from accommodation providers was that we have a number of accessible rooms, which they are forced to have by law, and of course the occupancy rate on those rooms was very low. They probably hadn't thought about the fact that if people don't know that they're there, how can they come and stay there? But we'll get to that later. So we set about creating a set of resources that we could use to educate not just businesses, but local councils, chambers of commerce, tourism organisations, and anyone else that would listen to. The first tool we created was a whiteboard animation video, which shows the different types of people that make up this diverse field. We then created accessible tourism introductory workshops, followed by disability awareness training workshops for service staff, and then we turned that into an online program as well, so that it's available for staff who are far too busy to be able to attend workshops. I'd like to share with you the whiteboard animation.
Meet Tom and June, a retired couple in their 60s. They're off on holidays, but Tom's not exactly the athlete he once was and looks for destinations suitable for someone with a walking stick. Their son Pete travels a lot for work. A recent skiing accident has put Pete on crutches. He now needs to think more carefully about the type of accommodation he's going to book. June's sister Mary is planning a trip with a group of 15 friends. One of them uses a wheelchair, so everywhere the group goes needs to be wheelchair friendly. Sarah, their daughter, is about to take their grandson on his first holiday. He's still in a stroller, so Sarah is focused on choosing locations that have little or no stairs. Although they all have different requirements, they all belong to the multi-billion dollar market called accessible tourism.
So that animated video was an invaluable tool, still is an invaluable tool. I use it every time I go and present to organisations. It cut through because everybody, in the rooms that I would talk to, everybody that looked at that video could relate to some member of that group, some member of Tom and June's family, whether it was their parents or their grandparents or a family that they knew where a member of that family had a disability. So it really created a level of empathy that has worked wonders. The first real partnership that we were able to create was with Destination Gold Coast. And it was in the lead up to the Commonwealth Games, which was held earlier this year. There started to be a real push for accessible tourism, which of course would go hand in hand with the fact that they were going to be hosting the first inclusive Commonwealth Games. Consideration had to be given to how they were going to cope with accessibility for not only the athletes, but the athletes and their families, and of course just general spectators. Destination Gold Coast contracted Inclusive Tourism to create some resources that they could then use to give to their business operators to help them to be able to embrace this business. So we created a set of cheat sheets, firstly. We had one which was language, so that we're very much focused on person first in Australia and accessibility. So we created a cheat sheet that gave examples of phrases, etc. We created one for behaviour and one for etiquette. And the etiquette one covers pretty much how to interact with people with all sorts of disabilities. The second part to that partnership became a series of workshops that we started running. So the first one was an introduction to accessible tourism. We ran a few of these over a period, and it basically broke down what accessibility was all about and what accessible tourism in particular was all about. We explained what the market was. We actually found some businesses that had already embraced inclusive or accessible tourism and that were working well with that, and we interviewed those operators. So that, again, it created a correlation between the people, the audience that we were talking to, and how they could come on board with this market. We gave them five simple things that they could do immediately. Make your business easier to get into, make it easier to get around, create accessible printed materials, build on the existing assets that they have, and of course staff training was a very important point. And as I touched on before, marketing. I don't know if anybody here is familiar with the Kevin Costner movie Field of Dreams, where it says if you build it they will come. Well, not here. If you build it and you tell them, then they'll come. So that was a big point. Let's get that information out there. We also then covered off the accessibility pledge. My colleague Lena Clintworth from Destination Gold Coast will speak on that later on this afternoon. And we gave them a template for access statement. So we went through with them what the key areas were that they needed to look at in their premises to design an accessibility statement, which we then encouraged them to put right there on their homepage. Don't hide it away under the FAQ section. Actually have a tab on the homepage that says access statement. The following workshop was the inclusive customer service workshop. This was a 3-hour workshop where we reached out to the same people that had been to the introductory workshops and encouraged them to come along, bring key staff members to come along so that they could actually go through and learn how to provide service and then take that back to their fellow staff. That workshop covered the difference between visible and invisible disabilities, behaviour, language, again etiquette, and etiquette was broken down into just general behaviour around people with disabilities, how to interact with people with mobility issues, vision, hearing, cognitive, and of course how you interact with people who use service animals. And then came the very boring part of that course, which was the legislation. In Australia, we have the Disability Discrimination Act, which came into being in 1992, and it's a very broad-ranging set of legislation, but it covers off pretty well to ensure that people are not discriminated against and that equal access is, in fact, something that everybody has a right to. Following on from that, we developed the mentoring program. Now, this is a fully funded program funded by the Queensland government, and it's still actually being run at the moment. Not right now, because I'm here and not over there, but anyway. There's 8 businesses partaking in this program. It involves going out to their businesses and walking around with them and doing a high-level overview, accessibility overview, and then presenting them with the report, pointing out what the barriers are, where their deficiencies are, and working with them to remedy those things and to create short, medium, and long-term goals for things that they can actually do within their business to correct these things. So we have businesses that are quite a lot of natural environment businesses, so they need to look at long-term goals. If you're working in the natural environment, of course, you can't necessarily go and bring out bulldozers and things, so it's planning out and doing the best that we can with what they have. Then came what I like to call the light bulb moment. So while all this was going on, there were some people busily beavering away doing research in 2017 on tourism in Australia and particularly on accessible tourism in Australia. It was funded by Tourism Victoria and Tourism Queensland. This gave us a really powerful tool to start talking to businesses, because as we know, businesses really are interested in their return on investment and what's the bottom line for them, what is in it for them. If you can get them enthused, and which can be done easily, but if you can then follow up and give them a good concrete reason why they should be investing in this, then they do. So the information that we found was that there was people with disabilities injected $3.3 billion into this market. We combined that with people who were older, who invested $2.9 billion, and then families with small children who contributed $2.7 billion. So that gave us a total market spend of $8.9 billion. Now, the really interesting part about this and what really gets the businesses into it is that that spend was actually generated in the first quarter of 2017. So it's $8.9 billion per quarter in that first quarter. So whenever I talk to business groups, I like to pause at that point and look around the room. And it's heartening to see the amount of people that are then spinning their eyes around, shaking their heads and going, wow, I didn't know it was that big. And once you get that, then you get them on board. That's when they start to really pay attention. The other thing that came out of the visitor survey, which was very heartening for me, was that it confirmed all of our thoughts about training and more practical information. So 86% of respondents said that yes, staff training was something that was desperately lacked within our industry, and that more practical information was required. So the two things that we had really been pushing businesses to do, create an accessibility statement and train your staff, were there in black and white for them to see. Also leading up to the Commonwealth Games, the City of Gold Coast commissioned us to create accessible experience guides. So these were to be done over 10 venues, and they were published on the City's website in both accessible Word and PDF documents, and they're still available for download on the Council's website. They've also formed the basis of Council's latest project, which is to create a far more widespread program for the Gold Coast, so that you'll be able to go and find information about accessible accommodation, restaurants, all the transport that links you to all of those things, as well as the accessible experience guides. The picture that is on the screen at the moment is of our model Lindsay at an Aboriginal cultural centre talking to the staff. So this really did create a good bond between people with disabilities and the staff, so that they could actually interact with each other and learn a lot. Each of the venues were initially visited by access consultants, where we went over and had a good inspection of each site and then created a report based on our findings. We then returned to the venues with people with lived experiences, and that allowed us to A, capture inclusive imagery, which we've used throughout the brochures, as well as opening that dialogue between the person with the disability and the person, the tour operator. And in most cases, this actually resulted in a much higher level of engagement and enthusiasm from the operators to embrace accessibility. In some cases, we found that there had been a disconnect between people with the disability and with the operators about the types of activities that the person could do and the activities that the operator could actually offer So this was a very powerful tool. iFly, for example, is an international company. They do indoor skydiving. Again, this is Lindsay, one of our participants. He wasn't aware that he could go and experience indoor skydiving. iFly have all of their staff trained in disability awareness, and they're very active in marketing to the accessible community. They provide a link on their homepage which says, here it is, this is our access statement, and they're very proud of that access statement. Lindsay had no idea that he could experience flying. We took him there, he'd flown. In his own words, he said he loved the feeling of the weightlessness. Lindsay's now a regular at iFly, and he goes along with his family and he takes his friends along. So for Lindsay, he now has a new experience and a new interest, and for iFly, they're being rewarded by, of course, increasing their bottom line. We also took Susie along to iFly. Susie is a lady with vision impairment. She's 60 years old, but she's very well travelled and loves to try new things. So Susie went there very enthusiastically, got dressed up in the suit, got inside the tube, and was an absolute natural because she had a great sense of balance, unlike myself, who got in the tube and banged my head all over the place. So again, Susie is very prominent in her community, in the Blind Society, in that region, New South Wales, Queensland, and so she is now always talking to her colleagues about, this is the experience that I had. And reports from iFly suggest that they are in fact getting a lot more people with vision impairments coming through the door. So that's a great thing, again, both for the person with the disability and for the business itself. Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary is a prominent tourist destination on the Gold Coast. It's been around forever. They have embraced accessibility. They've done a great job with making good, wide, smooth pathways. They've thought of a lot of things. They welcome many different people from many different backgrounds. And they continue to build any new infrastructure that they have. They try and make it accessible. This is one of the places where we certainly focused on short, medium, and long term. Currumbin Wildlife Sanctuary is built into the natural environment, so of course it can be quite difficult for them to be able to accommodate everybody. The pictures that you can see here are a newish attraction called the Lost Valley. Now it goes up some ramps and it actually goes up through the bushland, and it's an enclosure. You don't know it's an enclosure, but it's an enclosure which has lots of native birds and wildlife and things in it. They were given some information that said that if you put a gradient of 10 to 1 in there, that was going to be fine. This is a perfect example of where the operator went ahead and did that, thinking that they were doing the absolute right thing, until somebody came along and they experienced for themselves what it was like to try and get around that enclosure when you use a wheelchair. Lindsay is a young man, as you can see by the images. He is very fit, he's got very good upper body strength, but he wasn't able to get himself up those ramps. He had a great time coming down the ramps, and there's lots of pictures of him doing wheelies, but going up the ramp was a different thing. He had to have help to get up the ramp. We also have in the third image there, it's the biosecurity door. So when you go into the enclosures, you have to have a door that opens so that you can go in. The door closes behind you so that the wildlife can't get out. The way that they've created those doorways were not really that great for a wheelchair user. But once they'd experienced having Lindsay there and they saw how it was, all they had to do was change the way that the door opened. And now they've fixed that problem. That probably wouldn't have happened if we hadn't have had this level of advocacy coming along. While we're at it, and we're in Belgium, I thought I might as well just show you some native Australian animals. So here's Lindsay with a koala, and we've got an emu, and we've got some wallabies there just because we can. Creating partnerships has been something that has really started to take some momentum. So we continue to work with different organisations, we continue to talk to different organisations, and the more interest we can create, the more partnerships we're developing. So we've now not only continue our work with Destination Gold Coast and Gold Coast Council, but we also now work with Destination North Coast, the Bellingen Shire Council, Coffs Harbour Shire Council, and Clarence Valley Council. And there's more interest coming on further and further down the coast from my region. I recently had a meeting with Southern Cross University, and this is very exciting. They run a number of tourism courses, degrees, etc., within their university, and they've actually approached us to talk about creating curriculum which is specifically aimed at accessible tourism and bringing this into their tourism degrees. So that will mean that students will actually come out with an understanding of accessibility, which is a great thing. So just to sum up, we work a lot better together. Just over the last day or so that we've been here, I've had lots of interesting conversations with people where we're planning on continuing our collaboration. We work better together than against each other. So the Australian contingent will certainly move forward with much bigger plans for what we can do with the future. So please feel free to reach out, and it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much.